Mom, Dad, I'm not throwing shade, but the whole New Year's resolution thing, kind of slipping, no offense. Anyway, my best friend Jenny's dad, crushing it. He uses Blue Apron. He says he ordered one pan assemble and bake meals and these things called meal kits. They're all super easy to make. He keeps yelling, protein and fiber, baby. Also, the food, we tried it. So good. So maybe you check it out or whatever. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You could download that app anywhere you get the apps for your phone, your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store. You look for the Odyssey app. It's a big orange background with a white A. You can't miss it. You download it. Once it's downloaded, you search for WILK News Radio. Favorite us, and that's it. That's all you have to do. You can put in your email address so you get some updates and some links to the shows and keep updated on the things we talk about here. But it works seamlessly with your CarPlay. It's a great little app to have. Actually, very user-friendly. So check it out if you don't have it. Or you could use your smart speakers. Just tell them to play WILK News Radio, and it'll play us live. Podcast, we got you covered there. Anywhere you get your favorite podcast, just search for the Rob O'Donnell Show, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We got you covered. So just search for the Rob O'Donnell Show and you can check us out there. We upload new podcasts each and every day. Somebody said that they'd like to listen at work and they from 12 to 3. I said, well, just bring up the podcast the day before and play it at work. And then you can listen to me live right after that for the new stuff. That's how it works. How's everybody doing on this Thursday, January 15th, 2026, 24 degrees. It's 5:10 here in the studio in Pittston. It is staying lighter a little longer. We like that. Each day gets a little longer. It's that time of year. Feels good. Next week, cold front coming in. It's going to be in the single digits and teens. So if you got anything you need to get out of the way, get it out soon because it's going to be a little colder for a bunch of days next week. But it's that time of year. Once we kind of get into February, is kind of my blah month. You know, January, you know, you're just after the holidays. You have things you're still doing. But February, I'm kind of like, all right, I'm done with the winter. I'm done with the cold. And here in Northeast Pennsylvania, you know, we're into it all the way to April. So, but February is like, yeah, I'm kind of done with this stuff. Hopefully not this year. And it's, you know, winter depression is a very real thing. They actually make lights that help you with that. I had an old boss who had one in his office because he really felt that he suffered from it. So, you know, he had these lights and he said it helped him make feel better. So I believe him. We'll see. So school standardized test scores, both the PSSA and Keystone exams, have been out, and it shows some increases and some decreases in 2025. For the increases, it's good news. For the decreases, it just goes to show that there's a lot more work to be done. Lackawanna County School 2025 standardized test results reveal a widening performance gaps. Well, it's funny. This is a story coming from Christine Lee from the Times Tribune, and she says, while the county's elite districts maintain a narrow lead, a few unexpected standouts, Lakeland and Old Forge, surged with double-digit gains. Already struggling districts saw their proficiency scores slide even further in the most recent round of state testing. The Pennsylvania System of School Assessments, otherwise known as the PSSA tests, are taken by students in grade 3 through 8, with students tested in English language arts, math, while the Keystone exams test juniors in Algebra 1, biology, and literature. The Keystone and PSSA exams place the student in four categories: below basic, proficient, and advanced, with schools striving for proficient and above. Test scores have been analyzed and compared district based on their average proficiencies. On the Keystones, many districts improved their test scores. Appington Heights, Valley View, and Lakeland school districts had the highest average percentage, proficient and above, on all subjects tested last year. Abington Heights had an average proficiency or above of 77.3% for all three subjects tested, a slight decrease of less than 1 percentage point from the average of 77.5 they had last year. There were slight increases in Abington Heights biology and literature scores, increasing by 1.7 percentage points in biology to 75.7 and by 1 percentage point in literature to 87.1. While the district's Algebra 1 scores decreased by 3.4 percentage points in all. Well, you know, it gives target for the school district administration to say, hey, we got to pick up on our algebra and let's continue the progress on the rest. The second highest average proficiency among the districts in the county, Valley View, had a gain of nearly 3 percentage points on its average proficiency above all other subjects. Valley View's Algebra 1 score increased nearly 6 percentage points, while its literature score increased by 2 percentage points, and biology score went up less than 1 percentage point. Again, all increases, that's good. Lakeland's average proficiency, advanced or above, was among the largest increases in the county, rising nearly 11 percentage points in all subjects. At Lakeland, the district had the largest increase in Algebra 1 score of nearly 15 percentage points. Congratulations, Lakeland. That's my school district. Haven't had kids there in a while. I'm sure the administration is glad for that. I think they had a party when the last O'Donnell went through there. While biology score went up 11 percentage points, and its literature score increased nearly 7 percentage points. District with lower average percentage proficiencies were the Scranton and Carbondale area school districts. Scranton average proficiency and above dipped 6.2 percentage points from 2024 to 2025, while Carbondale area dropped 6.7 percentage points. Both districts had decreases in their subject areas tested. Carbondale area literature score went down almost 10 percentage points, almost 8 percentage points in biology, and 2.6 percentage points in algebra. Scranton's literature score decreased by 13 percentage points. Its biology score decreased 62.2 percentage points, and Algebra 1 scores went up less than 1 percentage point. The Old Forge School District had the largest increase in its average percent proficiency and above of school districts in the county, going up 14.3 percentage points. Its largest increase was literature, up 20.7 percentage points, while Algebra 1 scores went up 14.4 percentage points, and its biology score went up nearly 8 percentage points. Now, what I see here is I hope that the department heads, the vice principals, the superintendents, get together with these other schools. I hope that Scranton area, Carbondale, get together with their counterparts at Old Forge, in Lakeland, in Valley View, in Abington, and say, hey, what are you doing here? What curriculum are you using? What textbooks are you using? What methods are you using? A matter of fact, I would even, if it was me and I was in charge, if I was a department head or a principal, say, hey, I'm going to call in a substitute for my my school. Can I have my algebra teacher go to your school and shadow your algebra teacher for the day to see what they do different firsthand? Can I have my literature teacher, my English teacher, go shadow your English teacher for the day? I mean, hell, if I was the principal, I would be doing it. I would sit in one of my own schools. If I was a principal in Carbondale area school or in a school in Scranton, I would say, reach out to the principal in Lakeland, reach out to the principal in Valley View and say, hey, would you mind if I come shadow your algebra class, your literature class, your biology class? I would find it hard to believe they'd have an issue with that. You guys are doing great work. Your scores look phenomenal. I want to see the best practices so we can bring them to our school district. I would force our department heads to do it if you don't want to take the teachers out of the classroom, which, again, I understand that. So send the department heads. Send management. Send administration. Send the principal. And say, oh, listen, I'm going to look at my own biology class, and I'm going to take notes, and then I'm going to go look at one of theirs, and I'm going to see what they do. And can I have 15 minutes with that teacher after the fact, and maybe another half hour with the department head after that, so they can answer any questions I may have? and bring, this is how you make better community schooling. This is how you upgrade the system. It's not one school district against the other. It's not one's better than the other. Let's learn from each other. Let's bring best practices back and forth so we can all do things better. So the kids are the real winners. That's what I see from this. Looking at this, you know, from my background in public safety, where the best practice is what you want to achieve. You want to get the best outcome. You want all the tools in your toolbox to be able to address things. The same thing goes for education. So if I was a principal, if I was an assistant principal, if I was a department head, if I was any sort of administrator in this school, I'd say, okay, I'm gonna observe some of our own classes because obviously we're deficient in some of these things. We're taking hits and we're going down the way we shouldn't be. Other schools are having better results, so let's see what they're doing. And let's bring what we can back here. Let's see what's within our capabilities. Maybe it's just little things we can change. Maybe it's, you know, the way they're presenting things. Maybe they're actually dealing it one-on-one instead of using a whiteboard or the blackboard or their e-books or whatever they're using. Let's find the little things to get achievement for all the kids in our region. It's doable because we see school districts succeeding very well. We see great increases here from our teachers and our schools. So let's take that, and in schools that are not performing as well, let's learn what they're doing. It's not a knock on that teacher. It just might be the way they're being told to do things. It might be the way the curriculum's structured. It might be the time frame, how classes are arranged. It could be simple things that we find and we can fix to get a 2 or 3% boost in these tests. And again, I understand the test scores are just a gauge. They're not the be-all, catch-all. But if we can work together, if we can put our egos aside and our logos aside and what sports team you have aside, and we can say, hey, let's get work together to find best practices that we can bring back to increase everyone, make better teachers, make better school environments, make better students. They go home and make better parent-student relationships. Better curriculums. That's the whole goal here. You know, I understand we like the rivalries between schools here, but when it comes to their education, we want to see everyone succeed. We want to see every child have the best chance possible. And the way to do that is to put egos aside, put everything aside. It might be a little more work, but you know what? Tough. Go in there, observe your own classes, go there, observe theirs, and bring back the best practices. Sit down with your departments and say, hey, you know, this is what I saw over at this school. Look at the results they're having. Let's try something different. Again, you have to want to do it to get it done. It's 5:21 here at WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's coming up on 5:26, 23 degrees here on this Thursday, January 15th, 2026. You can call or text at 570-883-0098. Let's go to the phone now. We have Donald from Pittston. Donald.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to talk about the midterms, what we have to do to get this thing won. It's all about seniors and veterans, just like your show and Bob. They're the biggest donors. And if you could secure that base, they're not voting for a transcultural ideology. It's your seniors and veterans. And I think we got off at a bad start with DOGE because people thought that I think the seniors and veterans got a little scared that it was pointed toward them, but it was only pointed to the fraud and the illegals that were committing that fraud. And like I said, if you look at even Shapiro's, he's got seniors and veterans, 60%. Even these guys, even locally, they always preach seniors and veterans. You helped Rob get elected. You said you're not going to consult when you know he interviewed that interview. He was down 5 points, like I said. So if you could assure the seniors and veterans that everything's going to be cool with them, I'm sure we could win this thing in November. If not, all you're going to have is impeachment. It'll be total chaos with these people. They're totally out of reality, and you know it, and I know it. They have no structure, no values, no traditional values. They're really just lost people just grabbing grab onto anything that they could complain about. Don't you agree?
I agree. They have their issues they want to complain about and make issues that really shouldn't be an issue.
They're manufacturing issues for government to solve, but government don't have the answers to their issues. Mental illness. So what else can you call it? Everything's upside down with them, like you said, the transgender and the men and women sports and They just want to destroy our traditions for some reason. I don't know if it's a globalist behind it or somebody's paying for this. But if we could concentrate on the seniors and veterans and assure them that everything's going to be okay, I'm sure it'll be okay for the midterms. An old friend of mine, John Hines, just said he died in a plane crash in 91. But his base was, he ran unopposed. He was a Republican. He always took good care. He was on the Committee of Aging. He took care of seniors and veterans. That was his base. And no one even really run against him. He put maybe a shell candidate up to him. He wouldn't gather any votes, small percentage. But if we can convince, look at your show. Look at Rob. You guys are number one. Why? All your listeners are seniors and veterans. If you look at your top donors, seniors and veterans, I already did it. I Googled it. The retirees and the seniors and veterans are the ones that they're the voters that go out there and they're the ones that are voting. Young people.
Yeah, but if you look at both movements, if you look at the Turning Point USA with Charlie Kirk, you know, he geared his things toward the youth vote coming on.
Oh, that's good. We need that. We definitely need that.
And you have the younger crowd where the Biden administration, you know, promised the world about student loans and such to gain them and then kind of screwed them. So they feel disenfranchised, and a lot of them have switched over because they feel that they were misled by Democrats back then. But there is a lot more than that. I mean, I think those are key demographics. You're right.
Oh, yeah, just keep. I agree. I agree. I mean, there's like maybe like a good 35-40%, but that's a strong base that you have to keep intact. If you could neutralize that base where they don't like just always go to the Democratic side, because these new kids, they really need. Coming up, they need guidance. They need to be put in a good forward moral direction. And that's what I like Turning Point. That's why I even donate to that. I start donating to these organizations. It's just, I just want kids to get, you know, I want their heads to be twisted in the right direction, not all up, you know, like these protesters. They have nothing, seem to have nothing to live for, but blocking ICE agents. I don't know how they're getting away with it. Why don't the police force there, the local police force should be protecting ICE. Don't you agree?
I do agree. And they're negligent in what they're doing. And that's the fake leadership they have there that's allowing this to happen, creating these circumstances. But that's what they want. They want these circumstances. They're stoking those fears. They're saying it without saying it. They're saying, yeah, we want you to get in their face. We want you to record them. We want you to protest. But, you know, we don't mean violent peacefully, but get in their face. You know, we want you to document everything. Well, you're putting them in the position for things to get out of hand.
This is the guy, this Walls guy, right? What did he say? He said, after a campaign, you shake hands and move on. It was highlighted on your show and all over. You know, it was a soundbite. And he didn't do that.
Nope.
He didn't do nothing like that.
Well, we'll see what's up. We'll see what's
he created his own problem. Now he's blaming Trump. He's calling him all kinds of horrible.
I think he's just at the start of his problems. And if he thinks not running is going to be the end of that, I think he's sadly mistaken. Donald, I appreciate you checking in.
They got to turn down their rhetoric and stop the nonsense. Trump's not doing nothing wrong. He's just enforcing the law.
All right. It's 5:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Oh, nice spring day. Park by the river. Nice 8-pack of one of those Bud Nips. Those little 8-ounce hand grenades. Yeah, baby. Now we're talking summer. That'll warm you up right there. I remember the first sunny day, warm day of the spring. We used to head down to Astoria Park right on the East River. Between the Hell's Gate and the Triborough Bridge, get yourself a nice 8-pack of Bud 8-ounce bottle hand grenades. Got your first sunburn there that night with this t-shirt on. Yeah. Now we're talking.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I wouldn't change a lot of my youth for anything. I had a great time. As I look back, I mean, really, if I had the opportunity to go back and they said, you know, would you do it? No, I'm very happy with my My ups, my downs, the good experiences, the bad, learned a lot from both. But times like that, oh, every year, that first warm day of the spring, head right down there. As soon as the sun went down, it got cold again, and that sunburn felt awful. But after an 8-pack of Bud, it really didn't matter. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Let me go to the phone now. We have Rich from Laughlin. How you doing, my friend?
Good. How are you, Rob?
Good, good. Thanks for checking in with us.
Yes, sir. My pleasure. Rob, I was looking at the planes that are retiring, and there's a lot, surprisingly, but I fell upon some new information. We're getting a brand new Abrams tank. I don't know if you know that. It's called the X-3. It's probably 2 years away. General Dynamics is building it. The only thing that's going to be similar is the tracks and the shape of the tank. I'm sorry to say, the engine's going away. The jet engine's going away. They can't afford the fuel. Even just idling, it's 10 gallons an hour. In fast speed, it's 30 gallons an hour. And fixing it and so forth is expensive. They're going with a diesel electric, just like the cars. You know, you can go so far in the battery. With a full charge, even without the diesel, the electric motors could pull almost 30 miles. But it could sit all day with its radar on and sort of hide, and there won't be any noise at all. That day, it's not stealth per se, but they're trying to make it stealth in a way. The Modus gun is going away. Been used for years, but they want the men inside all protected. And so the Modus, you know, the gun that was used from World War II, that's going away. And the gun that's used on the Apache helicopter is going there. It's a 30 millimeter. It's much, much bigger. It could take out other tanks, etc. It's getting devices on it. The small things that fly, I'm trying to think. You know, the Navy spends $1 million shooting down a drone.
Yeah, it'll have drone capabilities, drone deterrent capabilities.
Yeah, and with proximity switches. When they shoot that drone at another drone, it will be programmed to go off just in time to take out that drone. And they're looking at several thousand dollars instead of millions of dollars to do that.
A lot of our weaponry do that. They're designed to do that. They don't actually hit the target. They blow up just before the target or in the vicinity, sending shrapnel. I mean, all that flak that they used to send up and just shoot into the sky basically is like a shotgun blast that sends metal fragments all over, and the planes would hopefully fly into it and damage themselves. But even our modern weapons today don't target the target itself, either the path or the vicinity.
The power, the DC power is going to come from battery packs at the bottom where the tank is not hit that often, but it's going to be reinforced and with fire suppression equipment. So the whole bottom is going to be filled in with batteries. And, that's the way they're going. And I think they got a winner here. It's getting also a 1,500 horsepower, just like all the other tanks, 1,500 horsepower diesel. But it will be using the battery electric off, and especially when it wants to be quiet. They spent a ton of money trying to make the tracks not as loud, and that's failed. They didn't think they could do it. But, you know, even if you put oil on it, you put grease, the things are, they have a lot of weight on, and they can't get that any quieter.
I believe the Marine Corps is moving away from track vehicles altogether and going to tire vehicles, the Marines.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand we need track vehicles. You can't do away with them altogether, but I there's a big push for them to do away with that.
Yeah.
The thing is, you know, I hope the diesel engine, when it's running, recharges the batteries.
Well, that's what it has to do, Rob. Yeah. That's what it has to do. Also, autoloader. They're doing away with the four men. There's going to be three men. It could load 12 rounds a minute. The rounds are 50 pounds, and, you know, if you have to do it all day, you get pretty tired doing that. And the only reason it didn't have it to begin with, they didn't want to make any mistakes when they were looking to fund the first tanks, so they had men doing it. But that's going to autoloader. And I'm trying to think. There was one other thing I had on my mind. But this is a whole change in tank. And it's 30 pounds lighter. The new gun is going to be, there's a new gun being made. They're saving a ton and a half on the gun. All synthetic material. More expensive than a regular gun, but it will still be, you know, 120 caliber. And that's generally the summary. It's we're looking at a whole new tank, just about, I would say. You know?
Well, I appreciate the call, because I really don't keep track of that. I keep track more of our aircraft and our naval ships and such like that. So it's good to hear that there are changes there that are going to help our men and women. It was nice to see us get away from the Humvees to the more basically Tonka trucks that they have now, these high end. And it was interesting to see, because when I went down for one of my daughter's things, they had the ones that were IED protected and the ones that weren't. And to see the difference in the undercarriage was unbelievable.
Rob, every airplane we know, the older editions are going to be gone. There's congressmen fighting some of them. The biggest fight is for the A-10. It's old, but Boeing is still keeping it going with parts. The Air Force is arguing that it has no stealth, and China, if we go against China or some other industrial, they have shoulder missiles that could take it out. But the older guys and the other generals are saying, well, they had that before, and they haven't taken it out.
You know what? With the A-10, though, we're using it every day.
Yeah, and
in combat right now, we use it every day. So until they have something variable to replace it with, I think it's a bad idea.
I also put an order in for two Harriers. Now I got black trucks by my house here. So that was my favorite plane years ago. But 3 days to change one of the motors. Plus, they have the new jets that are out now. But Congress is going to put a fight up. They want to delay some of this action, so you don't know when this is going to happen. But I was surprised to see the Raptor going, too. I looked at the first Raptor's route 30 years ago. It seems only like 15 years or something.
Yeah, phenomenal aircraft. And listen, our workhorse, the F-18 Super Hornet, the last one's coming off the assembly line in 2027, and we don't have a jet to replace it yet. It usually takes 20 years for it to get the concept to replace. And we're way behind the eight ball on that. So hopefully they get it together, and hopefully they're not fighting. Well, it needs to be built here because it's my congressional district. No, it needs to be built here because it's my senatorial district. Like our submarines, they're built in two different places in two different halves. It's just unbelievable. I got to leave it there, Rich. Thanks for checking in today.
Thanks a lot. You have a good night. Take
you
care,
too.
Sir.
Thank you. Real quick, let me tell you about my friends over at Monk HVAC, Monk Heating and Air Conditioning. Listen, these guys do it all. If you have a heating or air conditioning job, if you want to just look to upgrade your system, if you want to try something new, have them come out and explain the different options for you. I got one of those new Mitsubishi electric heat pump systems. This thing is phenomenal. Listen, I have a state-of-the-art propane-fired boiler that works great. But this Mitsubishi electric heat pump system is now my primary source of heat on my first floor. Why? Because it's more energy efficient. It's saving me 17% on my electric bill. It's half the cost to run than my propane-fired boiler. So why not use that as the workhorse now? And listen, this thing is the gold standard. They are Mitsubishi Diamond Elite contractors, so I am confident that it's installed to the specification. They had it installed in under 5 hours, didn't even know they were there except for the unit on the wall that was working unbelievably well. So if you have any heating and air conditioning needs, have them come out. Talk to them for a while to see what you're looking for and see what options they can give you. MonkHVAC.com. That's MonkHVAC.com. See what they can do for you. Welcome back as we wind down the show for this Thursday, January 15th, 2026. It is 5:51, 22 degrees. It's going down to the teens tonight. So if you're going to be out and about, if you're working tonight, make sure you bundle up. Put over on those long johns underneath the outfit if you're going to be out, especially working outside. I just received a message from our nation's border czar, Tom Holman. Just sent me a text message. I asked him some things earlier today, and he just got back to me during the show. And, I said, if a city, if a municipality, if an area made an agreement with ICE to allow them in their jails, to have their police department cooperate with them and allow them in the courts for people, illegal immigrants, who were arrested for other reasons, to contact them, to work hand in hand with them, to let them have an office in the jail so when someone comes in, they can check them. If they're here illegally, charged with another crime, all right, ICE takes hold of them and they go. His answer, and I'll read it to you word for word, it would certainly reduce operations in the neighborhoods, yes. There you go. So if you don't want ICE doing enforcement, roaming around, not doing enforcement, because they're still going to do targeted enforcement for somebody that is on their wanted list, but they're not wandering around looking for people. They wouldn't have the time or manpower to do that. They'd be focused on those being arrested for other. So it solves every problem that some on the left are bringing up. Well, they're targeting people who are simply here illegally. Well, they're terrorizing the immigrant communities, even legal immigrants. Well, they're even getting U.S. citizens now. Well, first of all, some U.S. citizens are putting themselves in harm's way, but I understand the sentiment when it comes to stops and people who may just look a certain way. So here's your way to solve that. Have your jails, have your prisons, have your police departments, have your courts cooperate with ICE and sign a memorandum of understanding saying, yes, we too want our streets rid of criminal illegal immigrants, not simply because they're here illegally. And I understand there's the crowd that just they're here illegally. They've committed a crime. I get that. Let's target the ones who are committing other crimes first. Let's go with what was said to be the focus, which it is. Again, even John Fetterman put out a video today saying 68% of all the illegal immigrants that have been contacted by ICE have other criminal records. Now, people want to dispute that. I find that to be the statistic myself. Obviously, your Democrat senator, John Fetterman, does as well. If you do those things and focus on illegal immigrants who have committed other crimes, because the only reason they're in our jails and prisons is because they committed another crime. The only reason there's contact with our local police department is because they've committed another crime. So it takes away every argument, every but, every if from those on the left that just don't want this to happen. They obviously don't want it to happen because they sat silent while Joe Biden opened our borders to a free-for-all. And then all of a sudden you have people like Mayor Cognetti saying, I was extremely frustrated with Joe Biden's border. No, you weren't. No, you weren't, because you sat there with your mouth shut and your hands under your ass. That's what you did. So don't tell us you're upset now because you have further aspirations. And if that's the case, and if you want to keep ICE out of your neighborhoods in the city of Scranton, make an agreement with them to say, hey, our police department's going to cooperate with you. If they come across someone for another crime who's been arrested, we'll let you know. We're going to have our jails do the same. We're going to have the prisons do the same. We're going to have our courts do the same. And as per the Board of Czar himself, and I'll read it again word for word, it would certainly reduce operations in neighborhoods. Yes. There you go. So you want to keep ICE out of the neighborhoods? Let them in your jails. Let them in your prisons. Let your police departments work hand in hand with them. Not do their job. Notify them when they've arrested somebody for another crime who is a possible illegal immigrant. And let the courts, where they can go in and take someone out, saves the county's money, saves the municipality's money. We don't have to house, we don't have to feed, we don't have to care for these people who have been arrested for local crime. Makes sense. But you know what? Doesn't matter, because it's not what they want. It's 5:56. We'll be back to close things down here on the Rob O'Donnell Show. All right, that's it for us today. I got a last text message here. ICE wears masks and frighten people. ICE is detaining people. Yes, it's ICE's job to detain people. And as far as ICE wearing masks, when I worked in narcotics and I worked in organized crime, we used to wear masks all the time. Matter of fact, people wearing insensitive positions, if you'd stop doxing them and threaten their families and threatening them, maybe they wouldn't wear masks. But yeah. It's really not an issue because it's always been done. You're just making an issue about it now. That should not. Our president is not even trying to calm the anxieties of the American people. Calm what anxieties? They're enforcing the law that has always been on the books. The laws haven't changed. They're doing the job that's always been done. You just have a problem with it now because of who's in charge. And you want them to make a speech on the radio or on TV? This is a horrible, horrible time. Well, maybe for you, but more than half America voted for this, and illegal immigration was one of the biggest topics and points before the election. So I think people are getting exactly what they voted for. They're enforcing laws that have always been enforced, and the same people are doing it the same way. And again, it's just the figurehead at top.